So that's Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 14. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
So as Frank said, we're going to be looking over the summer, both in the morning and evening service, we're going to be looking at this letter from Paul to the Colossians. And just to give you an idea of where all of this took place, here's a map. You can see it in the back of your Bible as well. And just to give you your bearings, there's the Mediterranean. This is Europe. This is the Mediterranean Sea in the middle, with Italy in the top left-hand corner. This is Jerusalem, where Jesus was crucified and raised again. We've got Antioch, which was the main base of the church after the stoning of Stephen and the spread of the scattering of the church because of the persecution there. And this was the base from which Paul, who wrote this letter, started his missionary journeys. And so there are various routes there that he took on his missionary journeys. And on his third missionary journey, he spent 2 years in this place in the middle, Ephesus. And he spent 2 years there preaching the gospel both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And you can read about that in Acts 19. Now, the Colossians are from Colossae, which is there where I've put the star. Paul never actually visited the Colossians, but we read in the letter that it was actually Epaphras who brought the word, the good news, to the Colossians, and Paul describes Epaphras as being our dear fellow servant. And the people in Colossae believed the gospel, and the church was founded there. But it appears that there was some sort of false teaching going on in Colossae, where people were saying that trusting in Jesus was an important first step in your spiritual walk, but that there were three other things that would offer a fuller experience, a fuller spiritual experience. And we'll just take a quick look in chapter 2 to see. It doesn't actually say what they are, but Paul argues against them, so we can infer what these teachings might have been. So in Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 8, let me just read that for you. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. So hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition. So as well as Jesus, they were teaching that you needed some sort of supplemental teaching. It was a sort of intellectual, an intelligent approach. And then in verse 16, we see, chapter 2, verse 16, it says, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or the Sabbath day. So these teachers seem to be saying that as well as trusting Jesus, you needed to have more religious, you had to abide by the religious festivals and fulfill your religious duties and avoid certain foods and drinks. And then in verse 18, we see, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. So these people seem to be teaching that somehow by worshipping angels that you would get an even bigger, more exciting, richer spiritual experience. So there are these three different areas where people were saying that Jesus wasn't enough, the gospel wasn't enough, that you could take your next step to really be fulfilled with these three other teachings. And Epaphras, seeing what God had done in the lives of the Colossians, went to visit Paul. And we think that Paul was in prison in Rome at this time that he wrote the letter. And Epaphras reported to him everything that had happened. And this letter is Paul's response to the Colossians, with the main theme being summarized really well in chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. So Paul is going to challenge the ideas that Jesus is, that the idea that Jesus is only the first step, you know, the way into a relationship with God, and that additional religious practices or rules or spiritual experiences are required for full spiritual maturity, but that it is also through Jesus that we can continue to grow and have full, complete, ultimate experience of knowing God. So our passage, in verses 9 to 14 are a prayer for the Colossians. And as Paul often had at the beginning of his letters, but this prayer, we'll see, is still reinforcing the same message that to the Colossians that he will go through in the rest of his letter. I don't know about you, but I find visualizing things helps me understand things a bit better. So I've tried to put together a little diagram of some of the key points of in the first 14 verses of this chapter. So first of all, just look at the message that Epaphras is taking to the people of Colossae. So we're sort of jumping around a bit, but in verse 13, Paul mentions the dominion of darkness, and in verse 12, the kingdom of light. And in verse, Paul says that the dominion of darkness is our state of, is our state of being separated from God because of our sin, our rebellion against him. And Paul says that God has rescued us from this dominion of darkness. And in verse 12, that instead God has qualified us for an inheritance in the kingdom of light. And then he describes this kingdom again slightly differently in verse 13 as the kingdom of his son, that God has brought you into the kingdom of his son. And who is the son? Who's God's son? That's Jesus. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. So Christians have been rescued from slavery to sin and separation from God and now inheritors of the kingdom of light, serving Jesus as their king. And how is it that he has rescued us? And we see in verse 14 that it is through the Son. Through Jesus we have been redeemed and have had our sins forgiven through his death on the cross and his resurrection. So jumping back to this morning's passage, this is the message that Paul calls the gospel in verses 5 and 6. He also refers to it as the true message in verse 5, as God's grace in verse 6, and the hope stored up in heaven. So this gospel, we're going to use the image of a thumbs up to be the picture of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. And it was this message that Epaphras took to the Colossians. And we see again in verse 5, again from this morning's passage, that the hope stored up in heaven, that the hope stored up for you in heaven springs up to faith and love. And in verse 4, we see that the faith and love are faith in Jesus and love for God's people. So, and then Paul uses another illustration in verse 6 for the same things, but this is instead of a tree bearing fruit. So bearing fruit and growing, with the fruit being faith in Christ Jesus and love for God's people. So in our passage today, we've got three headings, and they are the first bit from verse 9 will be the full, we can have the full knowledge through Jesus. Verses 10 to 12, we've got full lives for Jesus. And verses 12 to 14, we have full salvation through Jesus. So let's look at our passage. And starting in verse 9, our passage starts with, for this reason. So what is this reason that he's starting with here? And that reason is what we've just looked at. This is that Epaphras has taken the good news to the Colossians, and they have received it. They have passed from the dominion of darkness to the kingdom of light through Jesus. They're serving Jesus as their king, and they're bearing fruit. The gospel is bearing fruit in their lives. And so how does Paul continue for this reason? Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So I don't know if you find this surprising, that given what has already happened to the people in Colossae, they have responded, they have been saved. I sort of expect Paul perhaps to thank God for them and then move on to people who are struggling, who still need to hear the gospel and who need to turn their lives to God. But instead, what Paul says, that he hasn't stopped. We have not stopped praying for you. And what is he praying for them? We continually ask God. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. So what does this mean? What is the knowledge of God's will? Is it maybe where I should live? Which country should I live in? Where should I study? Should I get married? Should I have children? Or more mundanely, should I go to the cinema tonight or see a friend? What should I eat for supper? It's not these granular things. Instead, the knowledge of his will refers to God's ultimate plan for his creation, his purpose for his people, what he plans to achieve and bring about, and how he is to do it. How do we fit into God's eternal plan for his creation? So Paul knows that the Colossians have heard and responded to the gospel. It was bearing fruit in their lives. However, Paul wanted them to have an even deeper understanding of God's will. In fact, he goes even further, doesn't he? That they would be filled with the knowledge of his will. So how is it that the Colossians are to be filled with the knowledge of his will? In verse 9 again, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So we see in chapter 2 that it gives we have these same words. We have the words of wisdom, and we have knowledge and wisdom and understanding. So let's read verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2, to see if this helps us understand. So, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we see that complete understanding is about knowing the mystery of God. And that mystery of God is Christ, is Jesus. And it's in Christ that we will find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Everything is pointing to Jesus. It's in Jesus that we can find the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And complete understanding is about knowing him. Paul is saying to the Colossians that if you want the ultimate experience, if we want to take our faith to the next level, if we want to find true satisfaction and fulfillment, this is not to be achieved by seeking special spiritual experiences or by laying down rules to live by. But in fact, just as it is through Jesus that we can be rescued, it is through getting to know Jesus more and more that we can have full knowledge of his will through all wisdom and complete understanding. So it is a circular argument, isn't it? It's through Jesus that we can know God's will. And the more we know God's will, the more we will know Jesus. So our next heading from verse 10 to 12 are that the full knowledge that we can have through Jesus leads to full lives for Jesus. So this is looking in verse 10. Let me read that. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So why are we doing this? So that we can please our King, our Lord Jesus, in every way. The more we understand God's purpose for creation and understand how he's achieving it and where we fit into that plan, then the more our lives will be aligned with his will and please him. If we have full understanding of his will through all wisdom and knowledge in Jesus, then ultimately we will be able to please him in every way. And Paul gives four characteristics of a life that is worthy of the Lord. Let's see if you can spot them as I read it. So from the second half of verse 10 through to verse 12. So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father. So did you spot them? They're bearing fruit, growing, being strengthened, and giving thanks. And we'll take a look at each of these four briefly. So firstly, in the second half of verse 10, bearing fruit. We know already that from verse 6 that the gospel has already been bearing fruit in the lives of the Colossians. But here we see that they can be bearing fruit, do you spot it, in every good work. As they fully understand God's perfect will, their lives can also become fully aligned with his will and please him. If we fully know God's will, then we can bear fruit in every good way. Everything we can do can be pointing in the same direction and aiming to achieve the same goal. If we know where he's headed, then we can orientate ourselves towards that goal too. So secondly, in verse 10, growing in the knowledge of God. If you've been filled with the knowledge of God's will, you'll know what God's plan for his creation is. You'll know his purpose in creation. And how he's achieving it, what the ultimate goal is. If you do that, then you'll know God fully too. You'll understand more about what God is truly like. It's like reading a biography of someone. You can read about what they've done and what their passions were, and by reading about what they like to do and what their priorities are, you actually get to know the person themselves, and that's what we do. By getting to know God's will, we get to know more about who God really is. And thirdly, in verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So what is it that this all power is equipping us for? This power from God, this all power that God is giving us and equipping us, is it something extraordinary? Is it something particularly daring mission for God? No, in verse 11, you are strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. It's not easy living as a Christian, is it? There are so many pressures from the world to conform to its ideas and standards, and so many demands on our time and energy with work and studies and family and friends that it's really easy to relegate God to a lower priority, even without necessarily noticing it. We might stop serving in church or even stop coming to church altogether. We might start tolerating sin in our lives, justifying ourselves that it's only to be expected and doesn't really matter. It's really hard following and serving Jesus, but this verse tells us that his power is greater. When we discover God's will, we will also receive the power from God to keep on going. And fourthly, from verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father. We're not achieving these things ourselves. There's nothing that we can do to bring ourselves closer to God. We were slaves to sin, facing God's judgment in the dominion of darkness, when God stepped in by sending Jesus to die on the cross. Our final section shows us in detail how God has done all of the work and therefore why we are to give joyful thanks to the Father. So our final point is that we can have free salvation, which is through Jesus. So let's look at verses 12 and 13. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So did you see that it was God who did that? He has qualified us for the kingdom of light. He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's through Jesus is God through Jesus' death and resurrection who has redeemed us and who, by whom we can have our sins forgiven. There's nothing that we can contribute. God has delivered us full salvation through Jesus. So we can be giving thanks, joyful thanks to God for that. So what does all this mean for me? What does it mean for you? If you're here and you have not yet put your faith in Jesus, perhaps you don't think that you need to be saved or that you thought that somehow you had to be good enough, achieve things in your own strength, or just not be as bad as other people. Our passage today describes your situation as being in the dominion of darkness, somewhere where you cannot get yourself out, you're slaves to sin and facing God's judgment. But the good news for you is that although you can't free yourself from this, through Jesus' blood, the price for our sins has been paid. Our sins can be forgiven and we can be brought into the kingdom of light with Jesus as our Lord. We just need to put our faith in Jesus that he has done this work for us. It's this sacrifice that Jesus made to allow us to be friends with God on the cross that Christians remember during communion. And that's what we're going to be sharing together in a few minutes. But if you're not there yet, this is of eternal importance. I really strongly encourage you to read what the Bible has to say, to see who Jesus claims to be and what he claims to achieve. Do come to church and ask questions. It's great that you're here today. Don't miss out on the last day because you are too busy or too cynical to investigate it fully for yourself. The Christian faith is not about following rules or religious observance, not about achieving things on our own or having strange spiritual experiences. This is about being rescued from your sin and brought into God's family. How about for those of us who have already put their faith in Jesus? We could put ourselves in the position of Paul. So this is a prayer that Paul prays for the Colossians, and as the title on the term card for this talk is, it says, how to pray for those we love. And we can use this passage as a model prayer for when we're praying for our Christian brothers and sisters. Pray that God would fill them with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Don't stop praying for each other and encouraging each other to carry on in our faith. We need God's power to enable us to endure as Christians. But much more though, I think that as those who have been rescued from the dominion of darkness ourselves and are living with Jesus as our King, don't stop there. Desire spiritual growth. Yearn to know God better tomorrow than you do today. If you've been a Christian for 5 or 10 or 20 years, are you growing in your knowledge of God's will? Do you know God better now than you did back then? This should be our desire to grow and to progress. But where are we to go for this? Not to intellectual philosophies and traditions, not to rules and religious observance, not to the supernatural experiences. There's no value in worshipping or praying to angels or to the saints or Mary or any other created thing. Instead, we should pray that God would fill us with the knowledge of his will. And the knowledge of his will is through Jesus. So how is it that God will do this? How can God fill us and with the knowledge of his will? And this is through scripture as well, isn't it? The whole of scripture shows us God's plan for salvation, with ultimately everything pointing to Jesus. Jesus fulfills all scripture. We should pray that as we read the Bible ourselves, listen to the Bible being preached, or study it in groups, that God, by the Spirit, would help us to see Jesus better, and through Jesus, gain the full knowledge of God's will and purpose for our lives, so that we can please our Lord Jesus in every way, be fruitful in every good work, endure and be patient through all of his power, giving joyful thanks to the Lord our God.